This is something I'd like to talk about called the Sea of Nescience, or the Sea of Ignorance. When I first read the Bhagavad Gita many years ago, and I opened the pages, the opening pages of the book, there's a picture of Arjuna, who is the prince of the world, and Krishna in a chariot going into the battle of Kurukshetra. And all around them, I mean, I've told this story before, but all around them is tens of thousands of people, tens of thousands of soldiers. The battlefield is, just full of people, full of soldiers, tens of thousands of them. And when I opened it, what spoke to me straight away was that all of these people, all of these armies, all of these enemies, to me, they represented conditioning. They represented old scripts, they represented core beliefs, sub-personalities. They represented all the stuff that's on, all the software that's on the hard drive, all the stuff, all the intrinsic beliefs we've been given since we were a kid. And when Krishna and Arjuna are going into the battle, Arjuna is going to win his kingdom back. His kingdom's been stolen by his corrupt cousins, the Kauravas. So Arjuna's going into battle to win his kingdom back. And as he gets to the battle, he loses his courage because he suddenly starts to see these as real people, and he starts rather than seeing them as conditioning and old scripts and old subpersonalities and old shadows, he suddenly starts to see them as real people that he's got to kill. And obviously there was an interpretation that said this is as it is, it's a war, and Arjuna was the prince of the world, he was a soldier, he was a warrior, and he went to war. And that's a great interpretation. I'd like to say what I saw, which is I just saw this great big battlefield full of conditioning, full of old beliefs, full of core beliefs, which is where I was when I was in my 20s, full of core beliefs, recognising that I had a kingdom, that I had access to a kingdom, that everything I wanted to do was there if I wanted to do it. What it says in the Quran, at the beginning of the Quran, everything that Muhammad wanted, his wealth was within his reach, but it was beyond his grasp. So it was all there, but he just couldn't actually get at it because he hadn't expanded his courage, he hadn't expanded his awareness, he hadn't expanded his ability to be able to access what was actually his, because between him and his wealth was a sea of ignorance, lots of old core beliefs, lots of fears. So when Arjuna's going into battle and he falls out of alignment and he sees his brothers, he sees his uncles, he sees his teachers, he sees his father figures, he sees his gurus, he sees his cousins in the armies, and he knows that a lot of them are going to die, he suddenly says, what's the point of winning my kingdom back if all these people are going to die? I don't want my kingdom. And he says, I just want to go off into the forest and beg for food. I don't want this stuff. I don't want any of it. And Krishna reminds him, he said, you're falling into Maya, you're falling into illusion. He says to him, these people are already dead, their karma's already unfolded. And your duty, your dharma, is to go out and win your kingdom back. People are watching, you have a responsibility. You're the king of the world, you're the prince of the world. If you run away and be afraid, you give them permission to run away and be afraid. If you're corrupt, you give them permission to be corrupt. If you're greedy, you give them permission to be greedy. They're looking up to you. There is a responsibility. So I really like that. But what he was reminding him was that this is what it said to me, was that these people don't even exist. They just exist as memory traces, as conditioning, as old scripts, as old beliefs, as core beliefs on your hard drive. They exist within you, and for you to access your kingdom, you need to dissolve those. So I often talk to people and say, for me it's a metaphor, it can be real as well, but for me it worked as a metaphor. Some people were saying to me, I don't see it as a metaphor, you've just got to read it as it is. It's about a war, but I'm not interested in killing people, I'm not interested in killing anybody, I'm not interested in hurting anybody. So for me it worked really well as a metaphor. Then when I was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, I think it was book 3, it was really interesting when Krishna was talking, he started to refer to the battle of Kurukshetra, which is where Arjuna went to win his kingdom back. He referred to it as the Sea of Nescience. And then later on in the same canto, he referred to ignorance and old conditioning as being the sea of nescience. And he said the same thing twice. He said that when you connect to Krishna, or when you connect to God, or when you connect to your source, when you connect to, when you kind of plug into the mains, and you go into battle against your old conditioning, it will be as easy as stepping over a hoof print in the mud. It was said it'd be as easy as stepping over the hoof print of a calf in the mud. That's how easy it will be, because you're connected to your source. So Arjuna is brought back into alignment by Krishna, who delivers the Bhagavad Gita. But what he's saying is, this is just a sea of nescience. This is a sea of ignorance. This is just a sea of old conditioning. This is a sea of old beliefs, old core beliefs. And it's difficult to get beyond the mind, because obviously these core beliefs are on the brain. They're in the brain cells. They're in every cell. They're also, you know, they're in our part of our mind conditioning. So it's not easy to overcome the mind. What he's saying is that if we connect to our source, and we can do that through meditation, through prayer, through worship, through qigong, through tai chi, through yoga. This is a way of connecting the five different bodies that we all have. Because everybody obviously thinks that they are the mind, or they think that they're the physical body, or they think they're the sensual body. The sensual body rises up and wants to taste. People think that's who they are. They think they're the brain. They think they're the egoic identity. You know, like they're Jeff Thompson, or they're Lewis Thompson, or they're Sharon Thompson, or whoever. They think that's who they are. But ultimately, you know, that's not really, it's not who I am. Who I am is beyond that. Who I am is, I would class it as the authentic self, or the soul. And when we start to get the hierarchy in order, and we start to work from the soul, we start to recognize that the mind is subservient to the soul, and the soul works purely on intuition. We get intuition from the ether, from the universe. We get this intuitive advice which works through the egoic identity, or the sentinel voice, which is what's talking now. This is my egoic sentinel voice, and that is in control of the mind. The mind's in control of the sensual and physical body, and that's the alignment. A bit like in a factory, you have a CEO who gives orders to the manager. The manager gives orders to the foreman. The foreman talks to the workers. And between them, they keep the factory in shape. If you haven't got a hierarchy and that order's not in place, then we have chaos. So we need to have a hierarchy. And it's not like elitism, because once you get the hierarchy, once you recognise that the soul is in charge and the mind is subservient to the soul, and the physical and sensual and egoic body is subservient to the mind. Once you realise that, and you recognise that we've been led by the soul, we've been led by soul consciousness, we also recognise that the hierarchy reverses. So although the soul is the sentinel, the soul is the CEO, the soul is leading the charge, that's where the instructions come from. We also recognise that the soul is serving the egoic body, it's serving the physical body, it's serving the sensual body, it's serving, you know, it's serving the manager, the foreman, the workers. So although the CEO might be giving the orders, because it's coming from a divine place, it's actually at the lowest part, it's actually serving. So those who have elevated are those that should serve. I mean, I'm going off piece a little bit, I'm just moving away a little bit, but just to say that between you and your dreams, your potential, your kingdom, is a sea of nescience. That's it. The essence is that's it. And that sea of nescience is all embedded on the mind. And it's also, that is informed by every cell in your body. You know, it's duplicated in every single cell. So it's actually in our very core. So if we're going to get beyond that sea of nescience, we need to work with external tuition, and we need to work with intuition, internal tuition. So we need to get information internally from intuitively, from what I would call the soul, or the super soul, or from the collective unconscious, or from the Akashic field, whatever you want to call it. So I would get intuitive advice from there, and I'd also get external tuition. So at the moment I'm studying Hinduism, I'm studying some Sikhism, I've been looking at Jainism, I'm looking at, you know, Islam for quite a long time, because I love Islam, been brought up with Christianity. I love Judaism. So I'm getting external intuition. I'm getting external tuition and internal tuition, and all that's doing is helping me to expand the second self, or the superego, or what they call the internal parent, or what we're calling here the mind, or the sea of nescience. So if I've got very small, narrow core beliefs, and I think this is what's true and this is what's real, by getting external tuition and internal tuition, I'm expanding those beliefs. And of course, until you actually experience it, the tuition's good, internal and external, it's all of that's really good, but until you actually physically experience it, it won't be true for you. And when you physically experience it, there can be no denying what's just right in front of you. So I like the idea that all we need to do is cross that sea of nescience, that sea of ignorance. That can be done. There are books out there. If you've listened to any of these podcasts, you've probably heard me mention the fact that, you know, a word leads to a word leads to a word. You know, information leads to information leads to more information. I just finished the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. So I'm thinking, I'll read the Bhagavad Gita. That leads to the Mahabharata, which is the Bhagavad Gita's one chapter in the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata leads to the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is 18,000 verses. I took 2 weeks off work to read it. And you get to the end of that and you think you've done something, you think you've achieved something. And then they start at the very, very end in the last canto, they start talking about the Puranas. And I think, what the fuck are the Puranas? And you realise that the Srimad Bhagavatam is just one aspect of the Puranas. And the Puranas are 400,000 verses long. So it's basically saying there is as much external intuition, as much external tuition as you would like. And that came to me through an intuition. It was intuitive to me to read the Gita. It was intuitive to me to read the Quran. It was intuitive to me to get a copy of the Guru Granth Sahib and try and understand a bit more about Sikhism. It was intuitive to me to look up Jainism. Jainism was an offshoot of Hinduism. It was intuitive to me to study Taoism. I'm just really interested in studying, but that came through an intuition. So I'm being guided intuitively to get external tuition, and external tuition just helps me to cross the sea of nescience. I know that sounds like a lot of information, but if we come back to the centre again, basically what it's saying is if we connect to our own source, your source, wherever that is, you know, the ancient Red Indians would do it through oak trees. They called the oak trees the tree of doors because it opened doors to new dimensions. You know, you can do it through a faith if you want to do it through a faith. I just think it's wise to keep as many avenues of perception open as possible and be instructed by your intuition. So it's basically saying that if we can expand our core beliefs and we can just connect to our own source, just by connecting to our own source. If you just started doing transcendental meditation, for instance, or if you just started doing, you know, yoga, for instance, if you started to do that, that connects the five bodies. That connects you to your soul and you start picking up intuitive advice, intuitive direction. Just connecting to your own soul will help you to cross that sea of nescience. So the Bhagavatam particularly, the Torah as well, talks a lot about the fact that if we just connect to God, or we connect to our source, if we just do that, that will help us to expand and cross the sea of nescience. What we need to be careful of is not adding ignorance to ignorance by getting caught up in dogma. So for instance, when I was in the martial arts, there's a lot of dogma in the martial arts. There's a lot of people saying this is the only system. When I was in Shotokan, I love Shotokan. It was a fantastic system, a fantastic base, and my heroes were in Shotokan. People like Terry O'Neill and, you know, Andy Sherry, and people like Bob Poynton and Frank Brennan. You know, they were real heroes of mine, especially Terry O'Neill. It was a fantastic system, but I wanted to explore other systems. But when I was in Shotokan, you know, and when I've been in lots of other core systems, people don't want you to do that. You know, the association don't want you to do that. They don't want you to join other associations. But I wanted to explore Shotokan. I wanted to explore the branches of Shotokan. because the branches of Shotokan in the Bunkai of the kata, it led on to things like wrestling, it led on to things like jujitsu, it led on to judo, all the judo ashiwaza is within the katas, it led on to all of these different systems, it led on to Chinese systems, it led on to Indian systems, it led on everywhere. I wanted to explore that, so I did. But there was a lot of dogma within the martial arts which was saying it's this system or nothing, this is the only system you need, you don't need any other systems, this is a complete system, this is a deadly system. And to explore other systems is actually a betrayal of your heritage. Now, I didn't believe that. That's not what I believed. I needed to know for myself. So I went on to the, started studying other systems. I went onto the doors and tested the systems, and I found out what worked. I found out what worked for me. I have no doubt about what works. I don't need anybody to tell me. I don't need anyone to agree with me or disagree with me. It makes no difference. I know what works. I've been in thousands of situations, so I know. So similarly with the religious area of it and the spiritual area, I'm just fascinated by the study of it. I just love studying. So I go into all of these different systems, all of these different religions, and humbly as I can, take instruction and just see what I can learn, see what I can, how I can expand. And of course you find that lots of them are saying very similar things. They're all basically saying the same thing, which is if we serve from love, if we serve from God, then we will develop very deep roots. There's a great line in the Bhagavatam where one of the sages who's emaciated and he's been praying to God for a long time, or praying to Krishna, he comes to meet Krishna and he's got nothing to give him, so he just brings a handful of rice in an old rag, but he's quite embarrassed that that's all he's got to offer. And he doesn't even show it to Krishna because he's so ashamed of it, and Krishna recognises that he's got a gift. He said, is that a gift for me? And he takes the little bag of rice off him in this old rag. And he opens it up and he said, see that small handful of rice? He said, that's enough to serve. That's enough to feed the whole universe because it's come from love. But you could give me a kingdom and it would not satiate me even one bite because it's come from the wrong place. The Torah talks about this. You know, the New Testament, Old Testament talk about this. Judaism talks about this. The Tao is all about this. It's all about connecting to the source. If it comes from love. So all we need to do is connect to that source. If we connect to that source, it's really simple. It's not dogmatic. It's just you connecting to your source. You will expand and you will be able to cross that sea of nescience because you will dissolve the ignorance. What does Arjuna take into the battle with him? Just truth. He takes in truth. He takes in the Gandiva bow and he takes in the arrows of truth. And they will, they make him invincible. They deem him invincible in the battle because he has truth. When we spoke about this on one of the other podcasts about the fact that we just need truth. But I just love the idea of the sea of nescience, the sea of nescience, the sea of ignorance. And we know that ignorance can be dissolved because we just need more knowledge. And that knowledge needs to come in three parts. Informational knowledge, visionary knowledge, so we need to use our imagination to be able to see ourselves where we want to be. And then actual knowledge, which is when we complete something. So if I think it's impossible to get a black belt, then I hang around people like me who have got a black belt. Then it becomes cognitively possible. Then I start to do the training and I imagine myself as a black belt. Then in my own mind, I know it's possible. Then suddenly you win your black belt and it is real. It's done. Nobody can deny that's possible. And if that's possible, what else can you manifest? What else can you bring into your life? What else can you do? You are the reality maker. You are making the reality every day from your sea of nescience. And if there's ignorance in there, we're creating the wrong kind of reality. So the key is to be excited about expanding the intellectual base, the spiritual base, the psychological base, you know, expanding yourself all the time by being open to information, being open to information from all things auricular, from any place that it comes. And you'll be led by your intuition. Your intuition will take you there. So just a great idea. Cross the sea of nescience by educating yourself, but by more than anything else, by connecting to your source. It's your source, it's your kingdom.